Lippy Purvis, podcast, Yachting Monthly, February 2013. There is a whole industry called reputation management. Over 99 million hits, if you care to Google it. Some Yachting Monthly readers or listeners are possibly doing it right now, or surreptitiously getting into this on a tea break. Get back to work. Someone may even now be retweeting a rumour about your corporate client, or posting a viral YouTube of your family viewing star throwing up out of a taxi window. Yes, the management of reputations and public awareness, which grew out of the good old-fashioned PR trade, is now big business, possibly because so many of us are so busy that there's only time for lightning decisions based on superficial information. Apparently he was horrible to his first wife. Ooh, the new Apple Mini Micro Pad. Apple is cool. What has this to do with us afloat? Oh, plenty. We huddle in the February blast, planning next season with pilot books on the kitchen table, collecting anecdotal evidence from friends, magazines and books. At least half our decisions about new cruising grounds come from ideas we've picked up, reputations about different harbours and stretches of water. Unless you count the occasional tourist board leaflet, though, nobody does reputation management of cruising grounds. The Menai Strait does not retain a PR agency to say that actually the tides off Anglesey are easier than they say. Cape Wrath does not have a spin doctor. The Bay of Biscay has never hired Matthew Freud to nail the slander that it always makes you sick. Nobody in a glass-walled office full of expensive pot plants starts their day thinking, right, we've got to do something about this perception that once you get into the wash, you're going to run aground endlessly on rock-hard sandbanks. Where are those figures we got saying that 82.5% of visiting yachtsmen run aground fewer than three times a day there? So we have all fixed, half-consciously acquired ideas about difficult stretches of water, and rarely does anybody contradict them. In fact, owing to our innate desire to relate tales of narrow escapes and awful fates evaded by brilliant seamanship, most reputation management for tricky coasts is negative. Local sailors always talk up the local perils. They don't call those rocks the bitches for nothing, boyo. It's called the Sailor's Coast because it's not for amateurs. I've known these tides sweep fully loaded coasters onto the point. Pubs have gruesome paintings of shipwrecks. Old boys in the corner of the club bar remember a new whirlpool at the bottom of every glass. The result is that some names scare the hell out of us, while others, which maybe should, have no resonance at all and lead us innocents into trouble. Sailing round Britain years ago, we were petrified of Ardna Merchant Point. Ha! Sorts the boys from the men, said the sages of Mull. But we rounded it on the loveliest of calm days. The same went for Cape Wrath and the Pentland Firth. But nobody told us what a sea could kick up off Knoss Head, because who's ever heard of Knoss Head outside Scotland? And one of the nastiest passages we ever had was sailing past cosy old Chichester, searching for the hours on a mean black night. As for the notorious Bay of Biscay, I have now crossed it in various craft four times, and it has been no more nauseating and terrifying than a dozen less famous bits of water. And Paul reports from the deep south that actually the roaring 40s and frightful 50s off the Patagonian coast have so far, even in gales, been no worse than a lousy summer off Western Ireland, except for the woeful dearth of pubs. More perilously, though, some stretches of sea get undeservedly benign reputations. People who have sailed the Atlantic on the tradewind route tend to belittle the difficulties, given that a nice warm wind pushed them all the way in the sunshine. They refer to it casually as nipping across the pond. Yet the North Atlantic, which the Austal racers cross, often produces one of the toughest journeys in the world. And again, from Paul's experience, the hardest bit of sailing between Falmouth and Rio, he reckons, was the one we did together, down to Lisbon. As I say, Biscay was agreeable, but then it turned unpleasant. The other 3,000 miles, he says, could have been done in a wayfarer, except that it wouldn't hold enough books to stop him getting bored. But perhaps on the whole, it's better that we don't have reputation management companies for sea areas. Even more than pop stars and giant corporations, they can, after all, turn from lovable to appalling with no warning at all.